thank you for pausing in your busy evening to join us on the Molloy program. This hour is being sponsored by Mark Porter of The True Professionals. Thanks, Mark. He writes, please visit my YouTube channel, Maximizer TM7, Maximizer TM7, and see why the industry needs more true professionals and not just steering wheel holders. Please like or dislike the videos, and by all means, tell us why in the comments area. Together, we can make our highways safer and accident-free. All right. YouTube channel, Maximizer TM7. Thanks, Mark. I have to mention this by way of recognizing Studs Terkel and A and B in showing my gratitude that I spent time with him, Kathy and I did, when the 3.5 years we lived in Chicago. Today would have been his 100th birthday. He was born May 16th, 1912. He died in October 2008 at the age of 96. And if you don't know who he is, well, look him up. Studs Terkel, T-E-R-K-E-L. He was an author, historian, actor, broadcaster. He got the Pulitzer Prize for general nonfiction in 1985 for his book, The Good War, and which I never read. But I read a lot of his oral histories. One of my favorites was Working, where he just interviewed people. He also hosted a long-running radio show in Chicago. Very few people know that. The Studs Terkel program was on 98.7 WFMT Chicago between 1952 and 1997, 45 years. It was an hour program broadcast every weekday. Now, on the program, he interviewed people as diverse as Bob Dylan, Leonard Bernstein, Gene Shepherd, the writer, Alexander Fry. In the late 40s and early 50s, Terkel was also the central character of an unscripted television drama about the owner of a greasy spoon diner in Chicago. It was called Studs Place. Late 40s, early 50s, television, okay? And the ongoing joke was passing through that diner where many famous people, who just showed up. His show and Marlon Perkins' Zoo Parade, Dave Garraway at Large, and the children's show Kukla, Fran, and Ollie are widely considered, by the way, to be, classic examples of what was called the Chicago School of Television. So, Studs, at the Newberry Library in Chicago, right near Bughouse Square, across the street from what is called Bughouse Square, there's going to be, on Saturday, a gathering. And, in memory of, Studs Terkel. Is it Saturday? Yeah, on Saturday. I think. Maybe it was today. Maybe it was today. Anyway, I just wanted to say that I got to know Studs because of the radio show I did on WLS in Chicago. I first got there. I didn't know anybody. When I left, I didn't know anybody. After 3.5 years, I knew a few people, yeah. But he started listening, and he was surprised, to say the least, that someone with my political point of view was on a major Clear Channel. I don't mean Clear Channel, the company. I mean Clear Channel. WLS broadcast. It was the only station allowed to broadcast on, what was it, 890. Just like here in Atlanta, AM 750 WSB is the only station allowed to broadcast on that bandwidth. It goes back to when broadcast licenses were first issued in the 20s. These stations, the so-called clear channel stations, were designated in case there was some kind of an attack on the country. This is where you would tune in. But Studs used to listen. He started calling me. And being a nice man, I was blown away. I mean, totally blown away. because I don't have heroes. But if I did, he would be one of them. Well, the Newberry Library, which is a reference library, they award, isn't that the prize for the best children's book every year? It's a national library. You don't check books out. You go there and you can do a lot of research and reference work. Right across the street is a place called Bughouse Square. And they call it Bughouse Square. It's kind of like Hyde Park in London. At the turn of the last century and into the 20s and 30s, if you had something to say and you wanted an audience, you'd go to Bughouse Square, stand up on a soapbox or an orange crate and start doing your spiel. And people would gather and listen and either tell you you were crazier than a goddamn loon or applaud what you were saying or give you the finger or walk away or whatever. But it was a freewheeling atmosphere. So when I got to Chicago, and I kind of knew about Bughouse Square, we decided to do it on the radio. So we started doing it every Friday night. We would do an hour segment called Bughouse Square, where uncensored people could call up, and they have a minute to say anything they wanted. Now, of course, we're on 7-second delay, and you know, right-wingers would take advantage of it and, you know, call up and say bad words. But that, what do you expect from right-wingers? Most people played along. It was a lot of fun. Well, the Newberry Library decided to redo Bughouse Square one time just for the sheer hell of it. And they invited me, of all people, and Studs Terkel to co-host it. And one thing about Studs, every day of his life, he wore something red. You know, he was an absolute left-winger. I don't want to say communist, but he was as far left, a democratic socialist as you could possibly get. And just the kindest, nicest man, one of Chicago's most famous storytellers to boot. And I got to know him a little bit, and I just felt, you know, like I said, I don't know any famous people except Kathy, but I knew him, and he knew me, and to me that was just astonishing that I was able to participate in that and get to know this man who had so much to say about socialism and leftist politics and the dirty bastards and so on. As a matter of fact, the day WLS and I parted company because of their crappy-ass ugliness. I wasn't fired. I just took the option of just saying to hell with it and leaving. But Kathy and I were home, started to pack, and the phone rang. And I picked it up, and I said, hello? And I heard, the bastards. The dirty bastards. Hello? The bastards, Mike. They're just dirty bastards. And it was him. And it just, you know, blew me away. So Kathy and I talked to him a bit, and that was it. But and then about 6 or 7 years after we came back here, we heard he died. And so today, 100th anniversary of the birth of Studs Terkel. And just unbelievable. Lewis was his first name. He was, when he was what, Kathy, 90? Somebody broke into his room or in his apartment. And he, would he pull a gun? No, he took his cane, beat the living hell out of him. Something like that. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that. Thank you for your indulgence. Like I say, I don't know famous people. I really don't. But him, yes. Studs Terkel to me is the sine qua non of American literature of a type. Of a type, a pulse point of this country. So, rest in peace, Studs. And it was my honor to know you for those few short years. No question. All right. Thanks for your indulgence, truth seekers. I promise I won't do that again until the 110th anniversary of Studs Terkel's birth. Billy Sunday couldn't shut down. On State Street, that great street, I just want to say, they do things they don't do on Broadway. They have the time of their life. I saw a man, he danced with his wife in Chicago, Chicago, my hometown. Chicago, Chicago, I'll show you around. I love it that you bought a dollar, you lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago.
1,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. It is church night. It is church night. Wednesdays, sometimes on this program, become church night in recognition of all those summer Wednesday nights I spent with my grandparents in the Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio, in the upper room for prayer meeting on Wednesday night, where 15 to 20 adults would testify and lament and pray for President Truman and whoever else. And it was quite an experience for me. I'm sure it was part of what warped me. But watching the adults get down on their knees and pray, interminable to me, prayers, you know, this and that and the other thing. And then don't forget my sister Rosie, who coughed up a tumor the other day. And Lord, you know, that kind of stuff. It was very sentimental. As I look back all those years ago, it's all cast, not in black and white, not in color, but sort of that sepia tone. Some of you remember sepia tone movies. Remember those? That's what that memory is for me. So on Wednesdays, a recognition of that. Sometimes we do church night, as we are doing tonight. Email from Lee in NYC. Mike, I believe that if Pat Robertson wants to speak his political views, he should admit that he is in charge of a political action committee instead of a church. The rest of us could use the tax dollars. Pat Robertson's latest ridiculous comment: you don't have Jesus running against somebody else. You have Obama running against Romney. And as you've often noted, Mike, if the views of the New Testament Jesus were a political platform, the Republicans would reject it and insist that it violates the New Testament. Think of a Jesus administration. The hungry are fed, the naked are given clothes, the sick are healed, the rich are reviled instead of revered. Sounds like something a whole lot better than either alternative that we have now. Of course, the students and staff at Liberty University show their extreme lack of biblical fact by applauding Mitt Romney's endorsement of marriage between one man and one woman. Bill Maher informed on Conan O'Brien's show that Mitt Romney's grandfather left the U.S. and went to Mexico so he could be a polygamist. These uninformed people at Liberty University do not seem to know that Mormons were polygamists. Also, they do not know that Jacob, son of Isaac and grandson of Abraham, bought his two wives. They also must have skipped Deuteronomy 22:13-21, which says, quote, a marriage shall be considered valid only if the wife is a virgin. If the wife is not a virgin, she shall be executed. End quote. These people profess their knowledge of one book. I cannot believe that they have so much difficulty with one book. And if she's not a virgin, see, women have always taken it right on the chin, right? Huh? If she's not a virgin, she'll be executed. Damn. From Jamie. This is regards to what I talked about. Was it last night? Talking about the last hour was about the Homeland Security thing, right? Jamie in Charm City writes, Mike, per the report on Homeland Security and the Obama White House coordinating the crackdown on Occupy participants and sites across the country, of course we knew there was an involvement at the federal level months ago when the mayor of Oakland let it slip that she was on a conference call with DHS reps and mayors from 18 other cities on how to deal with the pesky patriots asserting their First Amendment rights, but without involving their Second Amendment rights, go figure. As noted in the heavily redacted FOI report you read this evening, we now know without a doubt why so many municipalities called for removal of occupiers because of alleged sanitary concerns. We knew at the time that these allegations were bogus, and now we know the source. To the moon, Alice! Take care. Jamie in Charm City. What's Charm City? I don't know where that is. I have a little bit here on Fukushima that you may find curious. And it may not even be about Fukushima, but I'll leave it for you to decide when we come back from this break. By the way, the latest edition of The Return of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe has been delivered. We are going to play it Friday during the first hour and during the third hour. And Kathy and I listened to it today, and we're very impressed. So that'll be Friday. The next installment. What is it, Chapter 5? Chapter 25? I have no idea. But we'll do it for you Friday. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. And everybody knows.
Before the hour. I had a fun time this morning on Nicole Sandler's internet talk program. Nicole Sandler. Look her up, listen to her program. That was a lot of fun. Fukushima, let's do this. Oh, first, let me mention yet again, this hour is sponsored by Mark Porter and the True Professionals. And his message, please visit my YouTube channel, Maximizer TM7, and see why the industry needs more true professionals and not just steering wheel holders. Please like or dislike the videos, and by all means tell us why in the comment area. Together we can make our highways safer and accident-free. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the sponsorship. Here's the story. Take it for whatever you think it's worth. A large number, relatively speaking, of Alaska Airlines flight attendants have filed a formal complaint about uniforms that they suspect might be causing their skin to rash and develop lesions and their hair to fall out. But based on the timing of these symptoms and their relation to similar symptoms in local marine life and polar bear populations, believe it or not, it appears as though perhaps, maybe, radiation from the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear disaster might be a culprit. KING 5 News in Seattle, Washington, television, first broke the news about the so-called mystery illness that has reportedly affected at least 280 flight attendants thus far. According to accounts, those afflicted by this condition say they have developed persistently itchy skin, skin lesions, and hair loss, all of which they suspect may have to do with newer flight uniforms that allegedly contain tributyl phosphate, a toxic organophosphorus compound linked to skin problems. But not everyone is convinced that uniforms are to blame, including someone who recently, I don't know who he is, connected the dots to discover a potential leak to the Fukushima Daiichi disaster after comparing the flight attendant symptoms to those reported on polar bears and marine life in the Northwest U.S., throughout the year. The timing correlation of the two is suspect. Now, back in April, AlaskaPublic.org reported that an alarming number of polar bears living in the Beaufort Sea, which is located just north of Alaska, and Canada's Yukon and Northwest Territories, these polar bears were turning up with skin lesions and alopecia, which is another name for hair loss. And before the polar bears, it was apparently ice seals and walruses living in the Arctic that were suffering similar symptoms. You can get this at alaskapublic.org. Upon these discoveries, it seemed as though scientists and biologists tried every which way to avoid tagging nuclear radiation as the cause. They were blaming viruses, bacteria, other factors as potential causes. But all of these hypotheses have failed under further scrutiny to prove true, which leaves one major elephant in the room that is not being discussed. And that is the results of the Fukushima Daiichi disaster. Now, based on the timing of when these wildlife creatures began to suffer their symptoms, as well as the nature of those symptoms, it appears as though radiation from Fukushima may at least be one of the causes of this mystery disease. And the striking similarity of the animal symptoms to those of the Alaska Airlines flight attendants points even more heavily toward a nuclear radiation link. In any case, there is little or no chance that mainstream media, the Association of Flight Attendants, or any other prominent group will dare question radiation from Fukushima as a cause. After all, as Natural News reports, the public has been deliberately left in the dark the whole time about the true severity of Fukushima radiation, which Natural News reported recently has been far worse than what we've all been told in the official story. So, like I say, you take that story with whatever grains of salt or busloads of salt you want to, or not. I hadn't heard of that. Have you? Has anybody? Huh? Flight attendants? Anybody? No? Okay. Whatever. From Jude in Seattle. Writing, this is about a week ago, she wrote, Mike, today Mitt Romney spoke in some part of the country. His focus was on energy. What was astonishing, Mike, was not that he was even talking out of his mouth, as that has become his claim to fame, simply spewing words and lies. What caught me short was that one of our family members, so to speak, the Kincaids, Bob Kincaid and his family are living in the belly of the beast, coal country. And Romney's statement was to claim that our energy was first dedicated to coal. They are liars and thieves, and the ignorance is their only focus, and that is square in the center of money. Listen to the horrendous acts of neglect and violations being done to this country's physical and emotional health on the part of our brother Bob Kincaid, and then you, neocon trollers, take a moment to think, if you are still capable of this process, our pale blue dot and its children are at dire risk. Signed, one of many women, Jude. No, Jude, the right-wingers will pay zero attention to any of this. They cannot. They are not mentally or emotionally equipped to come out of their matrix and take a look at what is really going on. There is not a right winger in this country who's capable of doing that on such short notice. There are occasionally, I will get an email from somebody who laments or you know, otherwise tries to understand how they lived in such a fog for so long before they finally escaped into whatever. I'm not saying they escaped into progressive politics or into an atheist point of view or a scientific point of view or an agnostic point of view about anything, religion, politics, global warming, science, whatever. I'm just saying that I get emails from people who say they finally escaped that matrix of stupidity and ignorance and religious bigotry and right-wing garbage that is just destructive, totally, completely, and always. This is what Christian leaders say is loving discipline. Authorities in Fridley, Minnesota, have arrested a couple for allegedly making the woman's 12-year-old daughter, shave her head and run up and down the street in a diaper as punishment for poor grades. This is what the Associated Press reports. Stephanie Ann Broughton, 38, and her partner, Darnell Allen Landrum, 34, were arrested Monday night on suspicion of gross misdemeanor malicious punishment of a child after police were called to the residence and saw a horrific scene unfolding. Reports state that around 50 people, including dozens of teenage and young adult men, were crowded along the street watching the girl do wind sprints in nothing more than a diaper and tank top. Officers said the girl's head was completely shaved. She had likely been out in public for 30 minutes before the police arrived. This is according to WCCO in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Fridley Police Lieutenant Mike Monsrud told the St. Paul Pioneer Press that when officers found the girl, she was, quote, crying and hysterical, end quote. The two adults told her that if she didn't earn good grades, they would shave her head and put her on diaper duty, which means running up and down the street and cleaning up trash as a form of public humiliation. According to the police, through the whole contact and even on the way to jail, both these adults were laughing and thinking it was ridiculous that police would get involved in what they said was their parental decision. The girl and three younger children living with these two filthy pig bastard adults have been placed in foster care, according to St. Paul Pioneer Press. According to WCCO, these two scum each face a year in jail and a $3,000 fine if they're convicted on the charges. Loving discipline. This is what these Christian psychopaths write about. There are several books out now, right? About, you know, humiliate your child, beat your child, go back to Leviticus if necessary, and kill your child. Because, you know, this is what God wants. God wants you to be violent, disgusting, contemptible, hate-filled, beat children, kill children, smash children, and you will satisfy this demon in heaven that you worship.
Against right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Mark Porter and the True Professionals. Thanks, Mark. His message, please visit my YouTube channel, Maximizer TM7, and see why the industry needs more True Professionals and not just steering wheel holders. Please like or dislike the videos, and by all means, tell us why in the comment area. Together, we can make our highways safer and accident-free. That's a YouTube channel, Maximizer TM7. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it very, very, very much. So the Methodists, the United Methodist Church, nation's largest mainline Protestant denomination, has voted against two proposals last week to divest from companies that provide equipment used by Israel to enforce its control in the occupied territories. Did you catch that? The Methodists essentially agreed to continue to not acknowledge the suffering of the Palestinian people The vote took place at the church's, according to the New York Times, the church's every four-year convention in Tampa came after months of intense lobbying by American Jews, Israelis, and Palestinian Christians. After an afternoon of impassioned debate and several votes, the delegates to this conference overwhelmingly passed a more neutral resolution calling for what was referred to as positive investment to encourage economic development, quote, in Palestine, end quote. Now, since they didn't have the guts or the courage or the Christ-like attitude to condemn these companies, they passed, however, a strongly worded resolution denouncing the Israeli occupation and the settlements. And the resolution called for, quote, all nations to prohibit the import of products made by companies in Israeli settlements on Palestinian land, end quote. Oh, okay. Wow. Now, you know that there has been a movement to for boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel because of the intractable problem of the occupation that has gone on now since 1967, so-called occupied territories. The divestment question, according to the Times, has come up repeatedly over the years in mainline Protestant churches. And, of course, these churches have long had relationship with Palestinian Christians and regularly send delegations to Israel in the occupied territories. And it should be said in fairness that these denominations support hospitals, schools, and charities in the occupied territories. Now, the Presbyterian Church USA will vote on a divestment measure at its General Assembly, which starts June 30th in Pittsburgh. They already voted for divestment in 2004 and then backed off at their next General Assembly 2 years later. The Jewish Voice for Peace, which is a liberal American Jewish group, supports divestment. And at this convention of Methodists in Tampa, divestment advocates, apparently dressed in bright yellow T-shirts, Desmond Tutu, Anglican Archbishop Emeritus of Cape Town, South Africa, and a winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, wrote an article in the Tampa Tribune likening the Israeli occupation to apartheid. That's not the first time he said that, of course, and saying that divestment could be as effective in Israel as it was in South Africa. And on the other side of this issue, more than 1,200 rabbis representing every stream of organized Judaism signed a letter mailed to the delegates before the convention beseeching them to vote against divestment. They argued that the tactic, quote, shamefully paints Israel as a pariah nation solely responsible for frustrating peace, end quote. And the 1,200 rabbis who signed the letter said a vote for divestment would, quote, damage the relationship between Jews and Christians, end quote. Now, of course, the divestment resolution called specifically for pulling investments in the church's pension funds out of three companies specifically, Caterpillar, for obvious reasons, Hewlett-Packard, for obvious reasons, and Motorola. Caterpillar supplies the bulldozers used by the Israeli Defense Fund to demolish Palestinian homes, Palestinian orchards, and sometimes American lives, as in the case of Rachel Corrie, who was crushed by a Caterpillar bulldozer being driven by a member of the IDF. You remember that story. Hewlett-Packard provides biometric monitoring at checkpoints and information technology to the Israeli Navy, and Motorola supplies surveillance equipment to illegal settlements in the West Bank and communications equipment to the occupation forces. But no, the Methodists do not believe that their Redeemer would want such a thing. What did Jesus say about oppressed people? And wasn't Jesus a Palestinian Jew to begin with? Oh, I know. I will get emails now from rabid right-wing American Jews telling me that there never was a country like Palestine. Show it to me on a map, Malloy! Well, I can't do that. So you're probably right. Jesus was not a Palestinian Jew. He was a Syrian Jew. There was no Israel, so obviously he was not an Israeli Jew. An Egyptian Jew? A Sumerian Jew? A Persian Jew? How about a Turkish Jew? I have no idea. But I just wonder sometimes. I can't help but wonder. I buy in to the Christian mythology just a couple of inches and stick my head in there and say, okay, what would Jesus have done in a situation like this? And you know what I come back with? I come back with the exact opposite of what most Christians say about this issue. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Here about what we've talked about the first hour momentarily. This hour is being sponsored by James Carreel and his message, please join Ed Asner and representatives from the 1,700 member Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth for the star-studded red carpet premiere of 9/11 Explosive Evidence. Experts Speak Out, which will be Tuesday, May 22nd, 7:30 p.m., Music Hall Theater in Beverly Hills. This incendiary new documentary features new dramatic forensic evidence and expert testimony that will forever change how you view that fateful day. Order tickets now at 911expertsspeakout.org. 911expertsspeakout.org. This event will sell out. Please visit 911expertspeakout.org and find out more about this important landmark film and how you can get involved and share the truth. Thanks, James. Check out their website, okay? 911expertspeakout.org, even if you can't be at this movie premiere in Beverly Hills. Maybe we can get Sanchez to go. 911expertspeakout.org. A couple emails here from Elaine. Subject line says, that damned commie, in quotes. What my dad's father, granddaddy, used to say as he listened to his worldwide radio, I think it was a ham operation, but I know he could pick up Studs Terkel. Mr. Terkel was known by most of my dad's family. They owned one of the first hotels in Daytona Beach, which attracted showbiz and politicos from around the world. The Old Oaks Hotel was the name of it. They also owned the Madison Beach Hotel in Madison, Connecticut, which also attracted that crowd, including Mr. Terkel. The Oaks burned down in the 60s, but my family sold the Madison Hotel in the 70s, and it was just renovated last year. I spent many childhood days sitting on Jackie Gleason's and especially Art Carney's laps. Mr. Carney lived most of his older years at the Madison Beach Hotel. Always, my dad remembers Mr. Terkel and has some pictures with him since he frequented both places in the old days, quote. in the old days, in quotes. He said last year when you mentioned him, and I knew I'd heard the name before, that everyone liked him, that although Granddaddy told everyone he couldn't stand, quote, those damned commies, end quote, they were all his closest friends. My grandparents were a trip, up at 5 a.m. to walk on the beach, walk the dogs, and look for Russian subs. Granddaddy had actually caught some Germans from a sub on the shores in the 40s and never seemed to give up looking for more. When he then drank a tall can of Pabst Blue Ribbon. I can't tell you how many times I got sick after Grandma would give me a swig at 5 a.m. and tell me it was good for me and make me strong. Well, they both lived to 100 plus. My dad is 86 and going strong, although he finally gave up his fishing trips on the Gulf and his kayak last year. My brother sold it when he went to Daytona to visit his sister and brother. So, another remembrance of Studs Terkel. And regarding the nice heterosexual couple who made the little girl walk up and down the street with her head shaved and nothing but a diaper because she got bad grades. Lee in New York City writes, Mike, don't forget the Republican talking point that a loving heterosexual couple is better than a homosexual couple. Obviously, these heterosexual parents just wanted good grades, and shaving the child's head and assigning diaper duty would be better than a homosexual couple who might opt for a tutor. Yeah, no kidding. I'm so sick of that issue of who can get married and who can't. I mean, sick of it from the standpoint of the right wing. I'd like to just, I don't know, do something violent. That would feel good. Bruce Prairie 2 writes about the Fukushima event. He says, how about Japan? Large areas in Japan have far higher levels of exposure than Alaska could have possibly gotten. I think they would be screaming about it if something like this were happening. The antifungus agents that Chinese clothing manufacturers use to keep stuff from getting moldy in the shipping containers is the most likely cause of the flight attendants' skin problems. You really shouldn't wear anything without washing it first. Although it's possible they're using something new that won't wash out. See, Bruce is not alarmed. I think I'm saying that right. He's not alarmed now about... He's alarmed about the potential of what could happen. But he doesn't think that these stories, as reported by Natural News and some of these other sites and publications, he doesn't think that these situations are all that critical now. I'm not saying he doesn't believe that they could develop, just not now. But here's another point of view from Sally. Regarding Fukushima story, she says, Mike, I'm following daily as the story unfolds. Helen Caldicott is now my friend on Facebook. I heard her speak 20 years ago, and she predicted this very outcome. The plants in Tokyo are mutating just after a year of irradiation. Plants, you know, green stuff. Cesium-137 is appearing as black dust over Tokyo. It appears after decontamination. Cesium-137 has a half-life of 30 years, and it will take 300 years before it is decayed. Government agents, regarding background radiation measures, government agencies in the U.S. commonly use a unit called the REM to measure radiation doses. The background dose that most people receive from natural sources is 3/10 of a REM per year. A dental x-ray is 5/1,000 of a REM. A mammogram is... 2/1,000 of a REM. No, wait, a dental x-ray is 5/10 of thousands, 0.005, whatever the hell that is. A CAT scan of the spine is 6/10 of a REM. According to the EPA, people start getting sick with a whole body scan or a whole body dose of 50 REM. Death becomes possible at 400 REM and nearly certain at 1,000 REM or more. In the United States, a power plant worker is limited to 5 REM per year, and the federal government tells local officials to advise residents to take shelter or leave if the resident's dose is anticipated to reach 1 rem to 5 rem. In Europe and Asia, a unit called the sievert is more commonly used. 1 sievert equals 100 rem. It appears that the number 2 reactor is turned into a liquefied pool at 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit and is radioactivity, and number 4 is spewing radiation still after a year. Organic farming in Hawaii, California, Washington, and dairy farms are all at risk. It will take a long time to test topsoil. I'm sure we have been ingesting radioactive products from Japan since Hillary Clinton made a deal to accept some of their products into the U.S. This is a total unprecedented disaster for all of us, particularly since cesium-137 is the major culprit. These scientists have created the monster they can't get back in the box, and they are just denying any liability. We are lit. Sally. So, two different points of view on that particular issue, right? That's the way it should be, I guess. Huh? Okay, we'll be right back.
Substance, no abuse.
21 past the hour. Again, I want to announce that the latest edition of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, the return of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, has been written and produced and is in its final form, thanks to the writer and producer, Bob Alexander. It is, as we say in showbiz, in the can. And we will be sharing that with you, playing it for you on Friday, coming during the first and third hours. I think you'll like it. I really do. This is, you know, it's an ongoing series. These are not discrete episode, discrete stories. It's an ongoing episodic story. I have no idea how it's going to turn out. The only one who knows is the shadow. No, wait. Bob Alexander knows how this story is going to turn out. But the next installment is this Friday. Don't miss it. I'm serious. To defend their claim to a little corner of space in the Republican Party's ideological pub tent, the log cabin Republicans are attacking Barack Obama for doing what Mitt Romney won't. And Mitt Romney will not say he supports same-sex marriage, but Obama did, as you know. And Dwayne Wickham, a USA Today columnist, has this: under other circumstances, the president's statement might have moved log cabin Republicans to respond with high praise. Gay marriage is, after all, a top log cabin goal. But in this political season, rational behavior is the first casualty. The log cabin Republicans said in a news release, quote, "The president has chosen today to finally speak up for marriage equality, and it is offensive and callous. Offensive and callous? Romney, of course, said marriage is a relationship between one man and one woman during his commencement address at this nest of little rats university, Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. And, of course, that is that's the same school that teaches that his faith is a cult. I don't get this guy. I just don't. Now, the log cabin Republicans, of course, have no courage to forcefully challenge their party's nominee, Mitt Romney. They don't. Instead, log cabin Republicans bash Obama because it doesn't like the timing of his support for their cause. In an offering of faint praise, the head of log cabins, R. Clark Cooper, he's their executive director, he said that Obama's announcement, quote, is starting to make lawmakers on my side of the aisle who haven't done so take a position on gay marriage. Ooh, well, that's nice. Obama comes out in favor of one of the driving forces, the underpinning objectives of the log cabin Republicans, and that is to make marriage available to everybody. Again, let me reiterate, there's no such thing as gay marriage. There's no such thing as straight marriage. There's just, or heterosexual, or heterosexual. None of that garbage exists. Marriage is marriage is marriage, and it's really a legal contract, and we've been through this so many times, and I'm as sick of it as you are, but these log cabin Republicans make me just want to scream and pull my hair out, or theirs. It doesn't make any difference. But the log cabin Republicans, as Dwayne Wickham writes in USA Today, are apparently willing to pay any price, bear any burden, and endure any insult to maintain a toehold in the Republican Party ranks. A political obsession that is as oxymoronic as a black man joining the KKK or a Jew becoming a follower of Hamas. Well, no kidding. So the log cabin Republicans, instead of celebrating what Obama said, they act like a bunch of goddamn jerks. Well, they're Republicans. First, last, always, you know, Republican. How can you not feel sorry for Republican? Well, I don't, you know, whatever. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, if you want to call in and chat, the number is 877-996-2556. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by James Surreal. Surreal? I guess it's surreal. It's not spelled that way, but thanks, James. And his message, please join Ed Asner excuse me, and representatives from the 1,700 member Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth for the star-studded red carpet premiere of 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. It'll be Tuesday coming, 7:30 p.m. at the Music Hall Theater in Beverly Hills. This incendiary new documentary features new dramatic forensic evidence and expert testimony that will forever change how you view that fateful day. You can get tickets now at 911expertsspeakout.org. The event will sell out, so please visit 911expertsspeakout.org and find out more about this important landmark film and how you can get involved and share the truth. Thank you, James. One more email here from Prairie 2 about what we were talking about the skin lesions on flight attendants of Alaska Airlines and this these diseases that seem to be striking Arctic animals. Prairie 2 writes, I think there's enough information in the story that you read to label it disaster porn. The outbreak, if that's what you want to call it, of mange, a common occurrence from an infinite number of possible sources, occurred originally in seals and walruses, who happened to be prey animals of polar bears that developed it later. It can appear to happen spontaneously in the entire population because of a change in temperature that encourages a mushrooming growth of the organism responsible. The flight attendants were all wearing the same new uniforms. No mention of an outbreak in people who live or work in the same area who didn't get the new uniforms. All right, well, I'm not familiar with that part of the story, but thanks, Prairie 2. I always appreciate Prairie 2's skepticism. I really do. He is a classic skeptic in the Greek sense of the word. And good on him. David is in Pittsburgh, listening online. Hello, David.
Hey, you know, I just wanted to say that I'm getting a feedback on this, but anyhow, we had a local station in Pittsburgh, extremely right wing, and I called just for the heck of it, just to see what I could do. I called some of their sponsors or their advertisers, and I knocked the largest health provider in Pittsburgh. I knocked them off their station. I knocked the largest drug rehabilitation center in Pittsburgh. I knocked them off. I knocked a car dealer off. I'm not going to be presumptuous, but I think I knocked AT&T out.
Okay.
What I did, it's simple. I used to work for the Post Office. I'm retired. But I told these people, I lied to them. I said, I'm a union representative, and we're coordinating with the other unions in Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Municipal workers, or city workers, state workers. And I explained to them, I said, we don't have a lot of money. I said, we have a lot of people. And we're going to put it in our newsletters. And we're going to boycott you.
Uh-huh.
I knocked them. I couldn't believe it. They canceled. They canceled advertising on that station. And that was just in 1 week. I did that last week.
Okay, well, let me ask you, David, and the point is what, to get other people to do this?
Yes.
Okay.
It's how easy it is. It's maybe they were on the edge and I just gave them a little nudge, but
whatever works, right?
That's right. And I mean, this is a bad, I told them, I said, look, we're fighting for our life out here. And I said, poof. We have the numbers. All of these companies depend on us, the numbers, to buy their products.
Right.
The rich people only amount to one person buying that product. We are, I lied. I'm not representing them. We're not doing this in the city or the state. But they believed me because I was courteous. I said, we're just trying to inform you that we're going to compile this list, and we would hope that you would see things more our way and stop advertising on this program.
Well, that's a great idea, David. And a lot of people talk about that, and they never follow through on it. Obviously, you followed through on it. And in the right spirit, let me just say congratulations. I mean, way to go, David, for real. Thank you, David. I appreciate you checking in. That's an excellent idea if you have the presence to pull it off, as David obviously did. Kevin is in Colorado Springs. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, good evening, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to thank you for last night's program, especially that last hour. That was a really important piece you did, and it needs to be known that this national security state is just rampant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were names of groups in that national security state that I'd never heard of before.
Nor have I. I mean,
yeah.
some of these acronyms, some of these names are just, and a lot of these, I would assume, have been put together in the last two administrations, the Cheney crime family, the Bush crime family, and under Obama. And that's the part that is really upsetting to me, because I still hold on to the mythologizing of Obama, that he is what he is not. And it's very upsetting to me. I need to let go of that and just realize that the national security state is the national security state, and it really doesn't make any difference if it's a Democrat or Republican in power.
Well, I keep hoping for a change, but it's going to take us really sticking to it and continuing to protest as we're doing. I have high hopes for that national protest out in Philadelphia on the 4th.
Well, there's one this Sunday in Chicago.
Yep.
During the NATO meeting. I will be very curious, as I'm sure a lot of people will, who cannot be there, to see how this evolves, how the authorities in Chicago handle this demonstration against NATO and against NATO's involvement way beyond its original charter in terms of killing people around the world. And I'll also be curious to see how Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, handles this. Rahm Emanuel is a reservist, I think he still is, in the Israeli Defense Forces. And when he goes to Israel, he is another American Jew who has dual citizenship. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but when it's my understanding that when he goes to Israel on his visits, he completes his military reservist status. I think this is still true. If it is not, I will receive an abundance of emails telling me I'm crazier than a loon around this issue. But I'll be curious to see how Rahm Emanuel handles the right of people to peacefully assemble in his city.
I will too, and I would encourage those that are going to be there in Chicago to document and to also call into the Molloy program and report on this next week.
Yeah, I would.
I can't be there, but I would like to. I am curious to see what happens there.
Yeah, so am I, Kevin. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. Take care. I appreciate you checking in. Oh.
right, truth seekers. It's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Oh, 10 before the hour. This hour being sponsored by James Surreal. His message: please join Ed Asner and representatives from the 1,700 member architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth for the premiere of 9/11 Explosive Evidence. Experts speak out. It'll be held this coming Tuesday, May the 22nd. Music Hall Theater in Beverly Hills at 7:30 p.m. This incendiary new documentary, James writes, features new dramatic forensic evidence and expert testimony that will forever change how you view that fateful day. Order tickets now at 911expertsspeakout.org. Please visit 911expertsspeakout.org and find out more about this important landmark film and how you can get involved and share the truth. From the waste receptacle here in the Malloy studio, this is from Crooks and Liars. Rush Limbaugh was inducted into the Hall of Famous Missourians yesterday, but the whole affair was cloaked in secrecy. He was ushered into an invite-only ceremony that took place behind closed doors inside the state capitol's house chambers, which were locked and guarded by armed members of the Missouri Highway Patrol while the ceremony took place. That's according to the Kansas City Star. Democratic lawmakers were banned from the induction. A bust of Limbaugh, who is a Cape Girardeau native, was unveiled at the Hall of Fame ceremony, but for the first time, the chamber galleries were closed to the public. The Republican Speaker of the Missouri House, Steve Tilley, who selected Limbaugh for the honor, gave the media just 20 minutes notice before the event took place. This goddamn fascist son of a bitch. I will be dancing in the streets when Limbaugh goes to meet his maker. I swear to God I will. The hush-hush nature of the event, which more closely resembled a clandestine political event than a feel-good acknowledgement, likely stemmed from the extraordinary controversy the selection sparked. Owing to Limbaugh's growing toxicity outside the narrow confines of right-wing dumbassery talk radio, the backlash to the Missouri announcement was swift and fierce, coming as it did so close on the heels of Limbaugh's searing Sandra Fluke controversy. The local chapter of the National Organization for Women sent hundreds of rolls of toilet paper to Speaker Tilley's office as part of its Flush Rush campaign. You know, that's a good idea, but some of those rolls of toilet paper should be sent used, if you know what I mean. The state's Democratic governor and U.S. senator both denounced the choice of Limbaugh, and more than 35,000 people signed a petition condemning the decision to add Limbaugh's bust to a collection that includes Missourians Harry Truman and Mark Twain. Despite the protests, the induction took place on Monday in secret, and it turns out using government employees to keep the public at bay while the taxpayers' representatives honored a scum-sucking talk show host. All of that wasn't the only bit of irony that hovered over this entire disgusting crap hole of an event. Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, hey, Missourians, you love the dude, don't you? Huh? I just had to toss that in. National Organization for Women sent rolls of toilet paper, Flush Rush. Send used toilet paper. Why not? It's much more effective, right? Lib Talker says send Rush used toilet paper. You're absolutely right. As much as you can send. Is there any rules against sending used toilet tissue through the mail? I don't think so. I mean, it would just be toilet tissue that has been had some broken in toilet paper. You know, there's a lot to be said about a virgin toilet paper, but toilet paper that has, you know, already been squinched up a little bit. You know, put it in a baggie. Is that enough, Kathy? Have I gone too far with that? Okay. Or it might be considered a biohazard, for Earth says. Maybe. Running out of time for this hour. Chris is in Nanaimo, British Columbia. Nanaimo, I'm sorry. I always mispronounce it, Chris. My bad.
No problem. Just wanted to let you know there's something breaking. Paul Watson of the Sea Shepherds, he's the captain of their ships there. He's been arrested in Germany on a very tenuous request from Costa Rica for a warrant for his arrest. Costa Rica has been strong-armed by Japan to take him into custody for poaching or illegal high waters activities, piracy, what have they. If he goes there, he's facing a death sentence.
A death sentence? No, Germany doesn't have a death penalty.
No, Costa Rica, however, does.
Costa Rica does?
Yes, they're the ones who issued the arrest warrant. Now they're trying to figure out whether or not the Germans are going to extradite them. There's still some time to send notices to the German high legal muckety-muck, but if you want to know more details on it, it's at seashepherds.org.
Seashepherd.org. All right, let me... We're flat out of time this hour. I will check this one out, Chris, and get whatever information I can and share it with the audience. Thanks a lot, Chris. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. A little bit more on Church Night and a couple other things. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Tonight, for those of you who are just joining us, or maybe you don't completely get what Church Night is in this program, it's not really Church Night. I mean, we don't sing hymns and, you know, have an Amen Corner going and a report from the Sunday school teacher. It's in recognition of the years that I spent as a kid going to Wednesday night prayer meeting with my grandparents in the summer. If you're a regular listener to this program, you've heard the story 6,000 times. Sorry for the repetition. But those summer nights, those Wednesday nights, were a real education for, you know, 8-year-old kid in north central Ohio back in the 50s to listen to the adults do their praying in an upper room of the church. 15-20 adults gathered around, sitting on straight back, ladder back chairs, while the preacher kind of brought everything together, and then hump down on your knees, brothers and sisters, and pray. And of course, I didn't get on my knees because I was a kid, but I would sit there and see all these adults down on their knees and listen to the exhortations and lamentations and so on and so forth. And it was kind of scary. On the other hand, I think even at age 8, I realized there was a screw loose in that room, and it was bouncing off the walls and the ceiling and the floors, and I might as well kick back and enjoy it. Anyway, so in recognition of that crazy period in my life, I'm sure you had similar experiences, right? Whether it was in a mosque, synagogue, church, someplace, didn't you? Unless they totally captured your mind, back then. You can now look back and go, whoa, wow. So that's what this is all about, Wednesday night, church night. And I just thought I would reiterate. This hour, by the way, is being sponsored by Yuri in Vancouver, BC, Canada. Thanks, Yuri. Yuri's message. All right, here we go. As we recoil from the dumbassery of religious zealots on church night, we can all take comfort in this. The dude abides. For thus spake the dude, languor be upon him. Quote, come join the slowest growing religion in the world, dudeism, an ancient philosophy that preaches non-preachiness, practices as little as possible, and above all, lost my train of thought there. Anyway, if you'd like to find peace on earth and goodwill, man will help you get started right after a little nap. End quote. The dude. Show the world that you've got what it takes to take it easy. Become an ordained dudeist priest today, online and for free at dudeism.com. With a shout out to my brothers and sisters in the Mike Malloy message board. On the Mike Malloy message board, yours in requiescence, Yuri in Vancouver. Dudeism.com? Is there really a... I didn't check that out. I'll do it during the next commercial break. I know there are very important things to talk about, but this is church night. And usually on church night, we talk about atrocities and horror stories and mind-bending reports of insanity that emanate from so-called houses of worship, like this one from Corona, California, reported by KTLA. Court documents were unveiled yesterday a newspaper attorney argued that they should be made public. These court documents are all about the particulars in an assault case by a pastor on a 13-year-old boy. The pastor's name is Lonnie Remmers, or Remmers. Lonnie Remmers, of course. Of course it would be Lonnie. Nothing against the name Lonnie, but you know what I'm saying. The documents reveal statements to detectives by a witness who said Pastor Lonnie Remmers used pliers on this 13-year-old boy's nipples during a Bible study session as a group of men watched. No, it's not what you think. It is much worse. Now, defense attorneys objected to the release of these documents, of course, because they said that the case has been blown out of proportion. Amen? Among the allegations made in these court-ordered, in the court-ordered release of these documents, affidavits, is that two other men, one named Craig and the other one named Jeter, I'm not making this up, literally rubbed salt into this 13-year-old boy's wounds. Apparently the kid was taken out into the desert. And he was beaten out there. A lot of things happening out there. And when he got back, he was taking a shower at this place. I'll tell you in a minute. One of the men placed salt in the cuts on the boy's back. And the witness said he could hear the boy screaming. The next day, this witness said he saw blood all over the shower. The boy told detectives that he was stripped, tied to a chair, and sprayed with mace. Later that day, the boy was brought to a men's Bible study at Pastor Lonnie Remmers' home. And according to witnesses, approximately 12 people were there. Pastor Remmers allegedly asked the boy to sit in the center of the group and then approached him with pliers and started squeezing the kid's nipples. Now, the defense attorney, Larry Noe, when defending the abusive Christians, in an interview with KTLA, said that the case against his client, 54-year-old Lonnie Lee Remmers, and the two others is not what it seems. No, hell no, it never is, isn't it? The lawyer said, quote, I think there's a lot of false information going out there. Mm-hmm. Now, Remmers, of course, is he's the one that's in his 50s. Craig is 22, and Jeter is 28. The another attorney for Craig, said, quote, I think if people could, they'd talk to the alleged victim, and he'd be the first person to say this has been sensationalized. Oh, really? A 13-year-old kid? Well, okay. Now, it was the teen's mother who took him to a group home operated by Pastor Remmers. Pastor Remmers has something called the Heart of Ministry Community Church. Heart of Ministry Community Church. Now, Mom took the boy there because she needed some help with disciplining her 13-year-old son. So, Corona, California police say, no, that's not what happened. These three men took the child to Barstow, California, and under Pastor Remmer's direction, they forced the kid to dig his own grave and threatened to kill him. Police also say the boy was held out there for several days. He was pepper sprayed, and other parts of his body, God can only wonder about this, were hurt. Was hurt with pliers. Now, the attorney, Craig's attorney, said, quote, we're talking about a set of individuals, specifically my client, who are in this for the right reasons. Not everything that happened is being properly reported, end quote. I guess the right reasons were to break this 13-year-old and put the discipline into him that is talked about in Leviticus and other sections of that horrific book, the Bible. Now, the other attorney said Pastor Remmers wants a chance to tell his side of the story, but the attorney added, quote, I don't think from my perspective he can do that at this time, end quote. No, I wouldn't think. Anyway, all three men were arrested a few weeks ago and booked on suspicion of torture, child abuse, and conspiracy. Craig and Jeter are also facing kidnapping charges. Pastor Remmers could get 7 years in prison, while Craig and Jeter each face 19 years in prison. They're all currently free on bond. And the next court, the next date in court is scheduled for June 8th. Maybe they'll get lucky and the three of them will be going somewhere in a pickup truck and get involved in a fiery accident with a petroleum truck. We'll be right back.
And everyone's for me. Children crying, people dying, no one seems to care. This old world is a closing in, there's no hope anywhere. I'll never sing a sad song again, 'cause I'll be gone to heaven's door.
I do not like them in my nation. It's more Mike Malloy.
I was looking back at faded dreams from yesterday. 21 past the hour. I mean, seriously, the sadism that exists in so many of these religions is just, I don't know. It is... I think it is a defining property, if that's the right term, of religion. It's just violent, homophobic, sexist, destructive. Seriously. Now, not necessarily everyone who practices these crazy religions. There are people of certainly of goodwill who would be of goodwill even without the crapola that comes from these religions. But they think, for some reason, these people think that that their religious beliefs are the guiding force, when in fact, you know, that's some crazy construct they've put together in their minds. The truth is that they would be a decent person, probably even more so, without the garbage that is religion, the truly soul-destroying properties of a religion. Oh, well. So, one more little item there for church night. Pliers on a 13-year-old boy's nipples. Think about that for a second, boys. Hey, you men out there in the audience, think about that for a second. You're stripped down, and this is after you've had to dig your own grave. they're going to teach him the love of Jesus, aren't they? Oh, yeah, amen. And then when they're finished with that, well, here, let's put these pliers. I wonder where else they put the pliers. And I wonder how sexually aroused Pastor Lonnie got from all this. Because you know he did. You know that Pastor Ronnie was standing there with part of his anatomy at full attention during all this nonsense, right? Come here, boy, let me pinch them nipples. Good Lord. From Jeff, Mike, got a high five for Tuesday night. Equal protection under the law. The halfwits don't believe in equal protection under any law. The dupes are incapable of comprehending letters of the law. If a particular law interferes with their bigotries, stupid religious memes, or delusions, they pee themselves and foam at the mouth. What Jeff is referring to here, of course, is what we were talking about last night about there's no such thing as gay marriage. There's only marriage and equal protection under the law, and it's being violated by denying people of the same sex to write a contract about their marriage. But anyway, Jeff goes on, as my friend Roberto's father told her, Roberta's father told her when she was but a child, quote, Roberta, if you choose a life of standing for the truth, all your friends, family, enemies will stand in your path. End quote. Jeff goes on, Obama will not only let the Keystone Pipeline proceed to be built, he will most likely cut the opening ribbon. Not because he's Obama, it's simply because nobody stands in the path of what the petro predators demand. The oil cabal will take us all the way over the precipice. Nothing will ever stop the total destruction of Mother Earth. The Gulf of Mexico rupture is already off the news horizon. Crabs are born without claws, fish without scales. The damage to the Gulf is permanent. Mike, every word we say or type is moot. We are just a couple of voices swept away by hurricane winds of the capitalist noise machine. They have all the power, and power equals money. Buying a voice of BS is so easy. Money doesn't follow voices such as yours. I played the lotto, just like all other losers, but if I won it, I would give you and Kathy millions to keep the candle burning. Abrazos, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, I feel that way a lot, that what we're doing on this program really is kind of peeing into the wind, which you're never supposed to do. You know, kind of witnesses to the end of something. Or everything. And you know, it's very frustrating. I hate having the debates with some of the people who write to me. I'm not talking about the right-wing halfwits. They don't write. They just vomit onto their computer screen and then hit send. But I'm talking about, you know, people who listen to this program who may have a different point of view about things. And to enter into dialogue about whether global warming is real, whether the towers in New York were brought down by pre-placed charges or just the stress of being hit by air, you know, all that stuff. What's the point? What's the point in getting into any kind of debate where logic or common sense or whatever you want to call it is applied? It's really kind of pointless. I believe in what Yuri in Vancouver said. The dude abides. We'll be right back.
liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour here on Church Night on the Malloy Show. This hour, again, is being sponsored by Yuri in Vancouver, British Columbia. And Yuri's message, ta-da. As we recoil from the dumbassery of religious zealots on church night, we can all take comfort in this. The dude abides. For thus spake the dude, languor be upon him. Quote, come join the slowest growing religion in the world, dudeism, an ancient philosophy that preaches non-preachiness, practices as little as possible, and above all, lost my train of thought there. Anyway, if you'd like to find peace on earth and goodwill, man, we'll help you get started right after a little nap. End quote, the dude. Show the world that you've got what it takes to take it easy. Become an ordained dudist priest today, online and for free at dudeism.com. With a shout out to my brothers and sisters on the Mike Malloy message board. Yours in requiescence, Yuri in Vancouver. Thanks, Yuri. Thank you very much. All right. Yuri was on that cruise with us, too. Yuri and his wife to Mexico. He took a picture of me in a Speedo. Thank God that is buried forever. There's no name. I mean, there's a name in the from line, but that's right. I'll just leave it since you didn't sign it. Subject line is say, hey. And he or she writes, it is difficult to reach you live here in San Francisco these days. You are aware of the Pac-Man cannibalizing the stations here. At least we get 2 hours late on the AM radio. I actually try to study physics, calculus, or organic chemistry as a middle-aged guy back at college seeking a biology degree. I really like your take on the corporatist Democrats not coming forth with campaign support in Wisconsin. You are preaching to the choir, brother. You would think those brilliant Democrats, as they love to describe themselves, could make more of an effort to help the poor, the working poor, the blue collar, the underemployed, overworked, and the underpaid. But no! When they say they're all about the middle class, they must mean in some other country. Is that where the biggest donations are coming from? Places like India and China? They're certainly not doing anything much about trade deficit or manufacturing or green jobs or technology, unless you count the Southeast Asian great-grandmothers who are recycling plastic and aluminum for their dinners. I am no xenophobe, homophobe, or racist. I know damn well what hatred and persecution can do. I grew up half crazy in Brooklyn, New York. And nobody could imagine what my folks went through during the war years in the 30s and 40s. And the iron fist of the Italian mafia in New York City in the 50s and 60s, with Jewish shopkeepers coming to work to find their windows smashed and shattered. Young adolescents, a target for brutal violence from the Gentiles. So I have my rough edge like you. And it seems to me the Democrats bailed on Obama when the Texas Ku Klux Klan showed up at his rallies in 2008 with their sidearms. And it was a Jewish senator, remember, who was shot by that young lunatic. Coincidence or not, I don't know. Actually, she was a representative, but that's all right. He goes on, or she goes on, why is Pelosi not held accountable for allowing the majority to slip away? Where were the campaign funds in 2010? Who is paying for her Botox? British Petroleum? We that was mean. We need a third political party, Mike. The 99%ers and the Green Party have been marginalized, and the clock is ticking like a worldwide time bomb, and our politicians are like a cross-eyed cuckoo clock in a bull ring. He writes like a writer, doesn't he? Or she. Oh, it's from CCSF.edu. What is that, City College of San Francisco? We'll track you down, writer. Thanks. But, yeah, it was representative who was shot in Arizona, not a senator, Gabrielle Giffords. But you're right. She certainly is and was at the time Jewish. And I can appreciate your allusion to growing up half crazy in Brooklyn. Play. And then there's this. This story for church night really, I mean, kind of puts it all together, doesn't it? There's a girl, 15-year-old girl from Mesa, Arizona. Her name is Paige Sulzbach. And she plays baseball. She plays shortstop? I think. Anyway, she plays on the team of all her teammates are boys. And a Phoenix, Arizona school that was scheduled to play the team that has Paige on the roster forfeited the game rather than face a female player. You can guess if it was a public school or a private school, because public school wouldn't happen, but it is the baseball team fielded by Our Lady of Sorrows. Well, no wonder she's full of sorrow, you half-asses, when you do this. Of course she's full of sorrows. What would you do if the Virgin Mary walked on the field and said, "Yo, I'm going to play second base, asswipes. Now, what are you going to do?" Well, they'd probably leave then, too. Our Lady of Sorrows decided not to play tomorrow night's game scheduled against Mesa Preparatory Academy in the Arizona Charter Athletic Association Championship. Our Lady of Sorrows, indeed. Paige, she plays second base at Mesa Prep, had to sit out two previous games against Our Lady of Sorrows because Paige had respect for their beliefs. But having her miss the championship game, that's where Paige and Mesa Prep said, "No, not this time." So the good Christian said, "Well, we're not going to play against the girl." Our Lady of Sorrows is the name of the church. Poor Virgin Mary. Oh, poor Virgin Mary. What about Paige? Paige's mother told the Arizona Republic newspaper, quote, "This is not a contact sport. It shouldn't be an issue whether or not my daughter plays. It wasn't that they were afraid they were going to hurt or injure her. It's simply that they believe a girl's place is not on a field." A girl's place is not on a field. Well, Molly goes to a public school, and she's in the track club, and she runs her little 7.5-year-old butt off. Nobody has stepped up to Molly and said, "Hey," or any of her female classmates, "You can't be in the track club." And God help them if they do. Officials at
Our Lady of Sorrows
declined comment. In a written statement last Thursday, the school said the decision to forfeit was
consistent with our policy of prohibiting co-ed sports. If Jesus wanted girls to play with boys, so to speak, I don't mean anything there, he wouldn't have invented priests. Priests play with boys, not girls, if you get my drift.
The statement from Our Lady of Sorrows said, "The school teaches boys respect by not placing girls in athletic competition where, quote, proper boundaries can only be respected with difficulty," end quote. Oh, by the way, Our Lady of Sorrows is run by Christian Nazis. It's the U.S. branch of the Society of St. Pius X. The group represents extreme right-wing, kind of like the Lubavitcher Jews in New York. I mean, these people are extreme right-wing, these the Society of St. Pius the X. The group represents conservative traditional priests who broke from the Catholic Church in the 80s because the Catholic Church, wait for it, is too liberal! In junior high, by the way, Paige played softball and volleyball. Because Mesa Prep does not have a girls' softball team, she tried out for the boys' baseball team and qualified, and her teammates and her coach support her. But Our Lady of Sorrows says, oh no, we're not playing against some broad.
But what about the name of your church, you dumbasses?
Here we go now, keep it lowbrow, get stupid, because I know how. Check my brain in, be an idiot, act lame, stay ignorant. Wear the best cap, slouch open, cool like a hunchback. Don't discuss things, shout the last word. Put your good sense out the pasture. Drop your IQ, that's what I do. My advice to girls and guys who wanna be a Nobel Prize finalist. Rocket scientists, try applying this. Keep the customers coming.
Rage Against the Flying Monkey Right with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour here on Church Night on the Malloy program. This hour has been sponsored by Yuri in Vancouver, British Columbia. Thanks, Yuri. And his message: as we recoil from the dumbassery of religious zealots on church night, we can all take comfort in this. The Dude Abides. God, I love that movie. For thus spake the dude, languor be upon him. Quote, come join the slowest growing religion in the world, Dudeism, an ancient philosophy that preaches non-preachiness, practices as little as possible, and above all, you lost my train of thought there. Anyway, if you'd like to find peace on earth and goodwill, man will help get you started right after a little nap. End quote. Show the world that you've got what it takes to take it easy. Become an ordained Dudeist priest today, online and for free at dudeism.com. With a shout out to my brothers and sisters on the Mike Malloy message board. Yours in Requiescence, Yuri in Vancouver. The Mike Malloy message board is different from the Mike Malloy chat room. Is there anything else here I want to say about Paige Sulzbach, whose team won by forfeiture because Our Lady of Sorrows would not play against a team that had, for the championship of the Arizona Charter Athletic Association, Our Lady of Sorrows would not play against a team with a girl on it because, you know, she's a girl. And, you know, when we pick these stories for Church Night, sometimes it's just cases about right brutality, like the first one there this hour. About the 15-year-old boy whose nipples were pinched and twisted with pliers and forced to dig his own grave. And, you know, all in the name of love and sweetness from Jesus H. Christ, right? According to these sick preachers who run whatever public urinal this so-called church is supposed to be. So those are violent. Those are nasty. You know, the murder of Jews, the murder of Christians, the murder of Muslims, the slaughter that goes on in India between Hindus and Muslims and on and on and on and on, all in the name of their crazed, bloodthirsty gods. But then you have a story like this one, where a 15-year-old girl plays baseball. And for the league championship, her team is right there, and another team is right there. But the other team, ironically named Our Lady of Sorrows. I mean, you can't make that stuff up, right? A team from a church called Our Lady of Sorrows refuses to play another team because there's a female on it. I mean, is this something Bob Alexander wrote? Nope, it's real. Nope, it's real. Sounds like something Bob would write, though, doesn't it? A church named Our Lady of Sorrows refuses to pay another baseball team because there's a girl on it. My God. There was one more comment about this. The senior director of advocacy for the Women's Sports Foundation said the decision by Our Lady of Sorrows to forfeit the game rather than play against a girl doesn't aid its own students. The senior director, Nancy Macar, says, quote, in real life, these boys are going to be competing against the girls for jobs, for positions in graduate programs or in trade schools. In every other area of their life, they're going to be competing against girls side by side. Well, end quote. Be that as it may, Miss Senior Director, these boys learned a very valuable lesson. These boys at Our Lady of Sorrows, they learned the lesson that their religious beliefs are shot through with lies, deception, hypocrisy, inequality, contempt, and stupidity. Now, not all these 15-year-old boys will figure that out immediately. But at some point in their lives, it's going to dawn on them. Oh man, when I was in high school, yeah. Damn, it just came to me. I was sitting here getting ready to take communion from the priest. And it dawned on me that the school I went to, Our Lady of Sorrows, and we weren't allowed to play a baseball game because there was a girl on the other team. And so, after busting our asses to be undefeated for the season, we had to forfeit the game to the other... Wait a minute! That's crazy! Yeah. That's how it happened to me. With the upper room and prayer meeting on Wednesday nights in the Southern Baptist church that my grandparents went to. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. Remember what the dude says. I'll see you tomorrow night. I'm Mike Malloy.